So once again, we have Tricia Lowe and Elaine Kahn. Let's have questions for our poets.
And you can also ask questions.
We were actually just talking about the pace that you read your piece at, and both of you guys had like really great reading pace, and I always admire poets for the way that they read. And specifically, we were talking about how the bit where you coughed during your piece, we had, or both of us thought it was incredibly real going through it, but then we both thought that it was part of the piece itself at one point. And that it was just fantastic. I'd never actually seen something kind of like that. And how do you kind of come up with something like that and then like rehearse almost performing it for a room full of strangers?
You should see what usually happens when she coughs.
Usually when I cough, there's a lot of fake blood coming out of my mouth. But there's carpet in this room. So I was like, I'm just going to not do that.
I thought maybe you'd spit out water.
I actually reflexively spit out water because I've done it so many times that I was like, oh, okay.
I added to it too.
But I don't know, you know, my book came out in 2013 and I've been reading that work for a really long time now, and past a certain point, like, I got really bored. You know, like I started off reading everything really flat in the kind of the way the second piece is, but I was sort of interested in incorporating like new material that wasn't necessarily going to become something else. And I have never written in verse. Like, I only write in prose. And for me, the way that that works, or the melody of that, is through breathing or like breath. And I was just kind of like, how fast can you really go? And of course, like, that girlish cadence as an aggression is very interesting to me. So, I mean, I practice a lot. I practice a lot. I'll say that. But also, I mean, a lot of those rhythms are very intuitive for me. It's just a matter of like mashing together a lot of stuff that I already know. And Elaine and I were actually just talking about it, that like, we maybe have the same sense of melody or pop music, or, you know, that kind of like, you know, you'll like speed up and then you'll pull back. Like, that's that kind of arc, I think, is
tension
sort of,
and release.
Yeah, is classically musical, I guess.
Yeah. And I also definitely write according to breath. I write out loud. So, I mean, that's how I figure out where line breaks go. That's how I figure out where stanza breaks go. And it's kind of frustrating, actually, because then sometimes something will change in me or about the way I read something, and I'll notice myself breaking in a different place and just want to rewrite the whole poem. I guess by the time I'm done with a poem, I almost have it memorized. So similar to Tricia, it's read out loud over and over again.
Yeah, I work with a lot of found material also. So, I mean, some of that is me. A lot of it is not. So, like, part of the way that I patch things together is to read it out loud and kind of, like, figure out ways to basically seam it, right? And that's kind of where the rhythm comes from.
Thank you.
Do you like Lana Del Rey?
I love Lana Del Rey.
Okay, just checking. Yeah. I like Lana too.
I love Lana Del Rey. Yeah. But I actually hadn't heard any of her music until after this book came out. It's funny because, like, there are little, there's little phrases where I'm like, that might have come from a song I heard and didn't even know. Because there's one, like, Born to Die. And I was like,
The video for that one is so good because she is lip syncing, but it doesn't match up with the song, and she looks really bored all the time. Yeah. Like, she does the same, like, when I read, I do the thing where I look up, and it's not because I actually developed it because I'm just scared of all of you. Like, I'm like, I don't really want to look at anyone, but like, as time has gone on, she does the same thing. It makes me look bored, apparently.
I thought it made you look like you were gathering your thoughts.
From the sky.
Yeah. Mm. Where else do thoughts come from?
I too like Lana Del Rey.
So my question comes out of sort of, I think of things very thematically, and what your work seems to have a lot of in common is sort of gender as performance, gender as experience. You know, I'm just sort of curious, how does sort of the world through that lens of being shape your work in ways? I don't know how to clarify that more, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to answer any question, but maybe especially questions about things. I mean, this is a terrible thing. My writing, because I feel like all of my thoughts about, I don't know how to explain it really differently than is in the work. Yeah. I guess. Like that's like the most like honest answer of what I think. And of course, like being a woman has influenced me a lot, and it comes up in the work a lot. It's called Women in Public. I think this book came out of a lifetime of feeling like there was a lot of violence to that experience, just of sort of existing as a woman, like, you know, literally just existing, like just knowing that you're a woman can feel like psychotic and scary.
Well, yeah.
I think that that's something I try and, I don't want to say like work through, but I think similar to something Tricia said before, sometimes my reaction to things that scare me is to, is aggression, is to sort of like take what feels maybe like a weakness and be like, fuck you. You think I'm weak? I'll be so fucking weak that it like, that it actually like is like almost like an attack.
And yeah.
That's, I think that, yeah. Tricia?
Well, I was just remembering because like Elaine plays music too, and we know we've run in similar circles or whatever, but I remember like, you know, Elaine would tell me, she was like, I used to wear like, you know, like these like gowns to the punk show. I was always kind of like more of a black mesh kind of girl, but like I had a lot of respect for that. That's like really being like in a space like that, that's really being aggressive, like aggressively feminine, right? I don't know. I'm always like, I think when I started this book, I was really like, I think when you're speaking towards experiences as a member of a certain identity category, right? There's this impulse that people place on you to be authentic, right? Like, what does it really feel like? Like, and it turns into this game sometimes where it's like you're never authentic enough. Like, everybody's pushing you to be like, who has the truer experience of pain and oppression? And I think that the way that we react to that impulse tends to actually deal more with artifice, like the ways in which you armor yourselves, or like, you know, the ways in which those weaknesses get transformed into a certain kind of performance or whatever. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not interested in authenticity, but I am interested in that moment where, like, if I were to spit fake blood, or like if I were to cough and you feel sad or sorry for me, does it matter that I'm performing? Like, does it matter that it's not really that real, you know? And like, also, like, there's things that I say, like, you know, I've read those, like, basically those suicide note poems and like had people laugh. Mm-hmm. And like, it's true, they're laughable, especially some of the early ones. I mean, they're like, you know, adolescent and super purple and just like the language is terrible and they're funny. But like, what does it mean to laugh at that? Right? Like you can laugh at that and be sad about it at the same time, right? And the language is like, you know, I love you, I hate you, let's get a Coke. Like, that's the most artificial kinds of language you can use. But it's also like what you absorb as a kid. Like, it's like the material that you have literally to express your experience tends to be consumed.
Something that maybe is, I don't know if it's actually a difference, or maybe I'm just perceiving it as a difference about our performance and our, I mean, when I perform, I feel very much, whether it's music or reading, that I'm actually having the experiences that I'm, that like anyone else thinks I'm having. I'm like, I really, like I feel very much like, I feel how I felt when I was writing these lines, and like I kind of relive that every time I read it. And when I perform music, like I feel very upset. And I, you know, it's interesting because it is still a performance. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to, when I would go on tour and like perform every night, I used to feel kind of like I was like, I used to feel like I was like faking an orgasm in public or something. Because it's like this on demand, you know, have an emotional experience. But, you know, for the most part, I do. And that's one of the reasons I like performing, is because it gives, you know, me a rare opportunity that very few people have to like really have a bunch of people witness mm-hmm. my emotional experience and like force them to endure it with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Some people, I do like to read. I like having an experience. But mm-hmm. I think that like there are some people who are like, I'm so excited. I'm going to read next week.
Yeah,
and before we came in here, we were both like, oh, God, no. Yeah. It's very much like that. It's like I feel like I have to get up there, and then I can kind of like pull it out of myself.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else, but I can't remember. Oh. Well, that relates to what you always say to me about how, like, you know, like forcing people to endure your experience mm-hmm. with you. But, like, you also have this impulse where, like, your poems are so short, and you're like, I only want to give people what is really good. Like, Elaine had this idea that if you go to a noise show, you shouldn't pay a cover fee, but you should have to pay to leave, which I think is accurate.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's just like, you know, like there's a lot of words in my reading mm-hmm. and there's far fewer words in your reading, but like you trim the fat in a way that like I have never been able to do.
But I also read so much slower. So it's like you can like maybe like just like push, you know, use like your energy to get, but I'm like, every people can hear everything I say.
I mean, that's what I'm saying though. Yeah. Like I am just like throwing trash in the air.
They're like, but they're different ways of like sort of withholding actually.
Right. But I'm throwing trash in the air, and like I feel like you
whatever.
Really are a lean mean machine.
Nobody in this room thinks that is true.
Oh, one note on that poem, I just remembered. That's it's a variation on an old Alice Notley poem that actually never appears. I think it appears maybe in a chapbook of Alice Notley's, but it appears as a Ted Berrigan poem in a book by Ted Berrigan. But she read it in a reading, I don't know, in the 90s at the Poetry Project. But I was really interested in the history of that poem, the sort of like the interchangeability of voice and character and what it means to be in a relationship where you're working together.
It's not the fuck up your life, your cute little life one. Is it?
Yeah, that one is a really good one too.
Such a good poem.
It's the best line.
Yeah.
I'll fuck up your life, your cute little life.
Hello. Okay. So you guys mentioned people laughing at your poems, and there are some humorous parts in it. And I just wanted to know, is that like purposeful, or do you guys write and think like, I hope this lands, or is it just like?
I don't.
I do. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I like theater. I mean, I know a lot of poets who think about themselves as comedians, or like, you know, the relation of their work to stand up is actually super strong. For me, it's more of a matter of like, humor is a way that we often like make things better, or like communicate really fucked up things to each other. Like, I'm really interested in this moment where like, say you tell an off-color joke about a woman in a bar, and there's a feminist academic and a biker dude, and they both laugh at this one joke. Like, what does that mean, right? Like, what does it mean? I, like, no, really, like, that's the moment that I'm interested in, where, like, totally opposite discourses kind of like have a moment where they're like looking at each other being like, oh no, you know?
How did I get on this team?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when I say I don't hope they'll land, I guess I just mean, I don't write, there's tons of humor in my book, and I'm happy when people laugh. But I don't like write them like as jokes. I like, life's funny.
Yeah.
Like you know, like weird, really personal things, like they're funny. And I think they're funny. I hope other people think they're funny. It's like laughter and crying, I think, are just like these like, you know, and vomiting maybe.
Yeah.
They're like these like beautiful like perforations of sort of this like, you know, the quotidian like placidity. And so I also just like, you know, when people can't control it.
Yeah.
Like that's such a wonderful thing to be able to make people respond in a way that they don't have control over.
Yeah. Yeah, it is all, it is those three, the visceral responses that are actually very telling.
Yeah.
What people laugh at is really telling.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. And I don't, when people are, feel like are afraid to laugh, then that like, I mean, like whatever, but it's, you know, but I'm just like, it's okay.
My favorite is when I laugh and I hate myself for laughing while I'm laughing.
Oh God.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. That happened at that reading that we were at. And we could not stop laughing. We almost had to leave.
Wait, which reading was that?
At Woolsey Heights with that guy. And I was wearing that coat. And you
Oh, my God. We shouldn't go there. I was being very mean about a reading. But I'm from New York, so it doesn't matter.
I actually had a question of my own. Since like all these questions and all your answers are bringing up things about the theatrical, that I've actually done theater for a large chunk of my life, and I just started getting into poetry, and I've been adoring all of the works that really especially remind me of theater, and both of your readings, because two different characters, both in this sort of dark and humorous world. And I was wondering about all the mini characters that are happening, that do you ever... say you write out loud and that you find poetry and stuff like that. Do you ever really like put yourself in a different character that you're like, this is not me, this is that person, and write a poem from that? Or do you really just see them as different feelings? I just wondered how you approach like different voices in different poems.
That's a really interesting question. No is the short answer. I don't. Well, I mean, I know there are different, like, maybe voices in my work, but I don't feel like any of them are characters. Sorry, that was such an obnoxious way to end. I was, like, trying to draw it out so I could think longer. I don't think any of them are characters, but maybe that's just me being obtuse. And now that you mention it, I do use, actually, a lot of different female names. That's something for me to think about more, honestly.
I think about it more like the way that I move through life is that like I have different personalities and characters in encountering different people and situations, right? It's like, you know, like how I would be in a job interview versus like how I'd be like with my lover or something. And so like they're not all distinct, but you know, they are sort of like characteristics that I can put on and take off as in order to move through life, right? As a necessity. I think it's more like that.
I wanted to ask a question that I guess it has to do with music in some sense, and just the question of tempo and pacing partly spoke to that, and as a musical element, and but Tricia was singing as well, mm-hmm. and I know that Elaine performs music, and so I guess the question has to do with the role of music in poetry, or distinct from, or incorporated into, or on the side of, and I'm wondering for Tricia in particular, like the Benny Goodman's Girdle and Pen, was that written down, or did it just arrive in the moment of that song, or
It's straight. It's the lyrics of that song.
Yeah.
It's a 90s classic.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose song?
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, really? No kidding. Yeah.
It's such a good song. I just like wish we could like sing it. It's such a good song.
It's my favorite karaoke song.
Yeah. My book is like riddled with song lyrics. They're just all over it. Like, I don't even know if I know all the places we were just actually talking about. Yeah. I think the way that, or the kind of music that ends up showing up in my writing the most is almost like incidental music, or it's music that I'm not even, you know, if you're like a human in the world, like you just hear music all the time and it's just played and you don't even notice that you're absorbing it. And yet like you're getting these like powerful messages that are sort of just getting stuck in your head and they've got this catchy melody. And I love that. Like I love that a song can come on and I'll realize I know all the words to it, even though I've never consciously listened to it. And I grew up, my mom used to sing to me pretty much every night. She would sing to me or read to me. And I don't know how else to say it than like I love melody and like I find it to be a really like sort of productive way of organizing my thoughts and experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very similarly about it. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like I like to cry in the dairy aisle of the supermarket or in the nail polish section of the CVS. And both of those places play music all day, every day, all the time, you know? And so, like, I might not like what's on, but, like, the way...
Or do you love it?
But I love it. It doesn't matter what it is, though. Yeah. You know, just, like, the fact that it's there or, like, it's in the fabric of, like, that incidental moment is always really pleasing to me. But also I think like, you know, karaoke, pop songs, like it's the same register as those suicide notes, right? It's like very I love you, I hate you, let's get a Coke. And like the sort of like weird emptiness of those lyrics, but like the intense emotion that you can get from singing or like from like experiencing it in a particular moment and like how quickly that can switch back and forth, I really love. Yeah.
I have another music-related question. Did I hear you both say that you come out of kind of punk tradition, or that you are?
I'm like more than me.
Very much like a contrarian punk, as Trisha was saying. Yeah. I don't really like to be part of any group.
Yeah.
But I like. I mean, I don't. I would say more like all my friends were punks, and then I was more punk.
I'm curious about how that, if that scene, which. To me, somebody who wasn't really participating, but has an idea about it, and sort of the message and that hypermasculinity that I see from the outside. I don't know if that's really a thing. How that impacts, or if it does impact your work now.
I wrote an essay on like punk and post-conceptualism. But like, I mean, for me, yeah, I mean, so I wasn't really a punk. I was really into Riot Girl. I played in a really bad Riot Girl cover band when I was in high school that I will disavow. But I think it's more like a lineage thing for me than it is gendered. I think that there are a lot of problems with punk, but I do like its refusal and its sort of like denial of parental lineage, but like it's so complicated. It's still like I hate you, Dad, fuck you, but then I'm gonna build off of this foundation that you laid for me, you know, like that tension that's in punk that's complicated. I'm interested in, or like I'm interested in it as a sort of like a gesture of what it means to be like a younger poet trying to make different work, right? The fact that like you can only kind of make new work, But like the fact that you have to perform this refusal in order to do it is always interesting to me. That wasn't kind of.
I mean, my first impressions of punk, I think, were. I remember I used to always say kind of like, well, you're just conforming to nonconformity. Right. And this is when I was like, precisely, you know, like 12 or so. Like I just, and I think, however like juvenile and obnoxious that was to say, that's like sort of an attitude I've maintained. And like Trisha was saying, it was, like in my later teens and like early 20s, when a lot of my friends were, I've always just really enjoyed kind of like fucking people's expectations. And like I would go to punk shows like wearing like a nice like cocktail dress or something. And I would literally have people be like, go home, what are you doing here? And I'd be like, that's my friend's band.
That's like a bigger fuck you than anything anybody could do at the punk show, honestly.
Well, that was sort of what I felt, and that was like why I did it, I guess. Or I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it was. But so I guess like, I mean, I don't feel like punk is more hyper masculine and more patriarchal than certainly any other scene. In fact,
or poetry.
I mean, I don't. I think that's just the world we live in, and you know, I was never like, well, actually, there was a, when I moved to Iowa City for grad school, and all of a sudden, everyone in my program was like really pretty, like square, and I like shaved half my head, and like started like just like wearing really, I mean, so I don't, yeah, I don't know, I think I.
But that brings up something that I think is really important to the both of us, which is that like we like setting ourselves against things. Maybe, you know, like even like I think
I hate to admit that, but
yeah, but like, but that's what I it's mean just by
so
like
bratty.
Yeah, like, but like my interest in punk is sort of like that. Like, what does it mean to have to set yourself against things in order to make something? Yeah. Like, because like the thing about setting yourself against things is that you're still affirming the thing that's there in the first place. You know, and that can be really fucked up too.
I guess this goes back to like noise and punk music and a lot of like, I guess it would be more earlier conceptual writing. Mm-hmm. Do you see a sort of corollary between like, I guess the author and the musician kind of demanding the audience submit to a certain like experience in reading or listening to noise?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Like stuff like writing that's really enduring and really banal, and like listening to like a guy pound a bass on the table for 15 minutes or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. You know, sometimes those performances fail.
Yes.
Like, I can think of performances I've been to just recently where it was something like that, where it was like, you know, someone was, you know, I could tell they were, like, trying to, like, kind of get a rise at the audience. And I was like, I think I'll just leave. Like, it just, so, you know, so.
Did you have to pay?
No.
To leave?
I did not have to pay to go or to leave. Actually, I did have to pay to go.
Mm.
Well, okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's, I definitely am interested in that as a artist, for sure. I definitely want my audience to have to endure my performance.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, something I think about a lot, right? Like, how audience-oriented are people in terms of making their work? Like, you know, what, like, I think quite a lot about, like, what, like, how I want people to experience things, or, like, how manipulative my reading can be, and, like, you know, how I want it to progress emotionally or sonically or whatever. And I think that, like, you know, someone writing a long, dry poem in which he parses the entire dictionary according to its, like, you know, like Craig Dworkin's work. Like, listening to that is actually kind of crazy. And that the funny thing is that that book can be read in a lot of different ways, too. Like, he could read it super fast. He could have, like, read it super flat. There could be dynamics to it, especially at the parts where it starts to fall apart. You know, so, like, I think that, yeah, I mean, it just depends on what people want from their audiences, I guess. And what people want, or like what I think people want is always interesting, or at least that question mm-hmm. is interesting to me. Yeah. There's some people who don't think about it. There's some people who are just like, I'm just going to get up and read my poem.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't think about it very much when I'm writing,
yeah.
but I definitely think about it when I'm performing, when I'm reading or when I'm performing music, and like will often like change my performance. Like if I feel like the audience is hostile,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like a lot of times those are my best performances.
Yeah.
I mean, not to experience for me, but yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's one more question.
Yeah. Ask you personally? Yeah, no, I'll do it. I'll ask really quick. I'm curious. Because we've been discussing how performance based and like, you know, it's based on breathing and the work is, you know, really good performed. Do you feel like not being there to vocalize it and to share it, it suffers as written word? Okay.
Yeah. No, well, as in like, yes, I understand your question, and no. I think about it as two different platforms. I think that like it's a different piece performed than it is a book on, you know, on the page. I think that, you know, there is something boring and durational about the way that the book works, and because of that there's like parts of it that I'll never read aloud. But like the way that I craft a reading or a performance is I think like a different experience. Like it may be like condenses the kinds of feelings I want people to have during the process of reading the whole book. But I think, you know, like it's just two different platforms. I think it works differently.
I think that, I mean, the most complete like realization of my writing is with me reading it. And I feel like, I mean, I hope people can feel it when it's just on the page, but it's actually like it's my wish that everyone before they could read the book would hear me read, because I think they probably read it really differently after they hear me read. And so yeah, I mean that's like I feel like this is like a score to like, you know, a performance. Then like the instrument is my body, and like just
yeah,
I can't say I wish that wasn't true, but it's like a limitation that's hard sometimes.
Like, I've never read directly from my book. I hate it. Someone asked me to do it once just for the visual, and I was like, I don't know how I would read. Like, I would just read, like, one section? What? Like, that seems weird. But, I mean, to answer your question more directly, I think it loses both ways, right? Like, you're always going to lose something. Yeah. I think we're done.
Yeah.
You're always going to lose something, Elaine.
God, Trisha.
We done? Thank you.